wanted to be helped. And soon it'll want to be fed. Have you thought about that? It's looking pathetically at me. Probably never seen a week's meals all walking around on one pair of legs before.
That wasn't true, Om reflected. Brother was shedding weight like an ice cube out here in the desert. That kept him alive. The boy was a two-legged camel. Brother crunched towards the rock pile, shards and bones shifting under his feet. The boulders formed a maze of half-open tunnels and caves. By the smell, the lion had lived there for a long time and had quite often been ill. He stared at the nearest cave for some time.
"What's so fascinating about a lion's den?" said Om.
"The way it's got steps down into it, I think," said Brother. Didactylos could feel the crowd. It filled the barn.
"How many are there?" he said.
"Hundreds," said Erne. "They're even sitting on the rafters. And, Master?"
"Yes?"
"There's even one or two priests, and dozens of soldiers."
"Don't worry," said Simony, joining them on the makeshift platform made of fig barrels.
"They are turtle believers, just like you. We have friends in unexpected places."
"But I don't,
Didactylos began helplessly.
"There isn't anyone here who doesn't hate the church with all their soul," said Simony.
"But that's not,
they're just waiting for someone to lead them."
"But I never,
I know you won't let us down. You're a man of reason. Erne, come over here. There's a blacksmith I want you to meet."
Didactylos turned his face to the crowd. He could feel the hot, hushed silence of their stares. Each drop took minutes. It was hypnotic. Brother found himself staring at each developing drip. It was almost impossible to see it grow, but they'd been growing and dripping for thousands of years.
"How?" said Om.
"Water seeps down after the rains," said Brother. "It lodges in the rocks. Don't gods know these things?"
"We don't need to." Om looked around. "Let's go. I hate this place."
"It's just an old temple. There's nothing here."
"That's what I mean."
Sand and rubble half filled it. Light lanced in through the broken roof high above, onto the slope that they'd climbed down. Brother wondered how many of the wind-carved rocks in the desert had once been buildings. This one must have been huge. Perhaps a mighty tower. And then the desert had come. There were no whispering voices here. Even the small gods kept away from abandoned temples, for the same reason that people kept away from graveyards. The only sound was the occasional plink of the water. It dripped into a shallow pool in front of what looked like an altar. From the pool, it had worn a groove in the slabs of the floor, all the way to a round pit, which appeared to be bottomless. There were a few statues, all of them toppled. They were heavy proportioned, lacking any kind of detail, each one a child's clay model chiselled in granite. The distant walls had once been covered with some kind of bas-relief, but it had crumbled away except in a few places, which showed strange designs that mainly consisted of tentacles.
"Who were the people who lived here?" said Brother.
"I don't know."
"What god did they worship?"
"I don't know."
"The statues are made of granite, but there's no granite near here."
"They were very devout then. They dragged it all the way."
"And the altar block is covered in grooves."
"Ah, extremely devout. That would be to let the blood run off."
"You really think they did human sacrifice?"
"I don't know. I want to get out of here."
"Why? There's water and it's cool."
"Because a god lived here, a powerful god. Thousands worshipped it. I can feel it, you know? It comes out of the walls. A great god. Mighty were his dominions, and magnificent was his word. Armies went forth in his name and conquered and slew. That kind of thing. And now no one, not you, not me, no one even knows who the god was or his name or what he looked like. Lions drink in the holy places, and those little squidgy things with eight legs, there's one by your foot, what do you call them? The ones with antenna, crawl beneath the altar. Now do you understand?"
"No," said Brother.
"Don't you fear death? You're a human."
Brother considered this. A few feet away, Vorbis stared